It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy. This is number 424. Len, ChatGPT, again, the headline. We're going to talk about that and much more today. But first, buddy, how the heck are you? Good to see you.
I'm good, Joey. How many ChatGPT stories we have?
How many episodes we got? We'll just keep pumping them out. Tracy and Maria writing the newsletter and getting everything together for us. And every week there is a ChatGPT story.
Second story that's kind of linked to it, I guess. I mean, it's a dotted line, but yeah, whatever. We'll get into that momentarily, Joey. I'm sure you want to rhyme off the winner of last week's
quote. I can't wait. Who was handpicked by Mark? Let's see. Nothing is permanent except change was last week's quote. That was by Heraclitus. I just don't want to say clit too many times. Les got it again. So congratulations to him. And a bonus for anyone who gets this week's quote, one does not waste time who studies how others have wasted theirs. If you know who that was by, no searching up the answer. Of course, you can only look on the bottom of your vitamin bottle for the answer. Put it in the comments and you get your next round of renewals on Easy DNS. Len, ChatGPT.
Let's lead off with that story, right? Have you tried the new Atlas browser yet?
I have not, but Perplexity has a browser that is pretty good that I am tempted to switch over to from Edge, but I haven't done it yet. Perplexity, by the way, wicked like home tab customization options if you want them. So for me, I have like some financial stories, some other stuff that's, you know, Canada focused, and it's perfectly catered to me. I love my homepage now. It's not the like, you know, Netflixification menu slop that you see on every other tab.
Well, I wouldn't touch that Perplexity if it's the Comet browser, because that's not doing all that well with respect to protecting you.
That's right.
And what is it protecting against? It's very similar to what ChatGPT's Atlas browser is experiencing, and it's a security flaw. And the name of this, it's reminds me of like a side quest for a video game, Tainted Memories. That's the name of it. Right? Isn't that kind of a side quest?
Yeah, that'd probably be a long side quest. It wouldn't be just like a fetch and return. That'd be
You have to go down a steep rabbit hole and come back, and all you get is like 200 gold for your effort. Like,
one purple rupee, the famous Breath of the Wild reward. 3 hours gameplay, 10 rupees, 10 coins.
Thank you very much. So yeah, this tainted memory exploit, it's been discovered that's impacting the ChatGPT's new browser, the Atlas browser. And what does it do? It's allowing attackers to inject hidden commands directly into the AI's assistant memory. And it's kind of like giving a corruption to the AI's subconscious, because the ChatGPT memory is a feature designed to help the AI remember your preferences, conversation history, and to make future interactions more helpful. This sounds like a recipe for disaster, given how much information it's going to be accumulated for one particular user out there, or every user. But either way, if a user is logged in to the ChatGPT and is tricked into clicking a malicious link, it's always these links, then the link can secretly force the user's browser to send a request to the ChatGPT's backend. And the request injects invisible code, it's malicious, and it's going to be persistent in the AI memory. And once it's there, the code will remain there across all devices and sessions, and even if the user switches to a different browser like Chrome or Edge. And when the user later provides a completely normal input, like it's trying to ask for a summary or summary of a novel or whatever the heck it may be, Hidden Memories then clicks in and it's silently activated. It's there behind the scenes, and it could steal stuff. It could lead to executing malicious code, stealing data remotely, giving attackers control over a system. And it's all because somebody is using the browser, the Atlas browser, and clicking the malicious link. So these are the two things you have to have. So other browsers out there, they tend to do a lot better protecting. If you do click this malicious link, like if you're using hypothetically Chrome or Edge, they do a better job at protecting you against these things. They do poorly other things, but with respect to this, they do better. So Atlas browser is still very, very new. I'm sure this is going to be closed in the not too distant future, but if you are using it, be very careful what you're clicking, because if you click the wrong link and it doesn't stop it, Well, the information on your computer could be leaked to somebody out there. Just be careful.
The lesson here, I think, is that if someone is maliciously injecting something in your back door, you have a problem, right? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, and I think that applies to all genders. Right? We're not
Who are the people using... Let me ask something, okay? Uh-huh. The people who are using the ChatGPT browser, okay? How are they... Like, what reason do you have to be using this? Like I just said, I use Edge. I have a Perplexity tab that opens up for me. It goes to the... Like, this is the sort of middle ground. Still probably not great for privacy somehow. I'm going to find out on this show at some point that it's a bad idea. But why would you ever download the browser from these guys? After seeing every week on this program and others, there's an issue with privacy and data collection. Like, what are you doing at this point? Going for the browser from ChatGPT, from OpenAI. Why? Why have you done this to yourself? And then the link clicking. These people are buffoons. They're buffoons. What else can we call them?
Yeah, I think it's just the path of least resistance. They want to get the easiest access to certain things, information.
Malicious injection in the back door is not the easiest path. It is a path of greater resistance, I think.
I think
for some.
This next story, kind of, it's a linkage to the previous one. This is the indirect linkage. And this is, it's an example as what's going on, what's wrong with society, and why people might be apt to use the Atlas browser. This story here is about the character.ai, and it's a chatbot company. I've never heard of this company before, but they're banning all users under the age of 18 from having open-ended conversations with its characters. And the ban comes into effect in late November, about a month from now. And the decision didn't come out of the blue. This was done because they were pressured, and there's growing concerns because lawsuits have been filed. One particularly after a mother, her 14-year-old boy took his own life after allegedly developing a strong relationship with this chatbot, with this character on the platform. And the family claims that the AI was manipulative in its approach, and that the other reports found that the platform also has, well, they're based on dangerous figures, and others even, they're giving suicide instructions. Why?
It's a mess. It's a total mess.
And they're saying that in this one, these bots, they could be hyper-personalized. And you're dealing with teenage boys. They are still developing their mind. They're developing their social skills. And in this case, they probably will never develop their social skills if they're interacting with these AI chatbots. And it's like a surrogate therapist or even a pseudo companion. And the question then becomes, what is a real life friend or a programmed algorithm? And so what character.ai is going to be doing is they're going to be implementing age verification to enforce the ban. Also, they're going to be limiting people under a certain age 2 hours per day. Oh, actually, that's doing right now. Sorry, it's 2 hours per day right now. And so I'm looking at this, and I talked about this on our show when I was mentioning the trolling online, when people would go on those Red Dead Redemption, they were RP channels, like role-playing channels, or Grand Theft Auto. Joey, you have no idea how pathetic it is. There are people in these servers that they are living the life of minimum wage job people. They're serving burgers.
They won't have to do it online for much longer if things keep going the way they're going, let me tell you.
This is the way society is trending, is people are shunning away real life and opting towards this fake life, and they could personalize their character, the physical traits, to however they want. Man, and these are the people that are going to be paying taxes in the next 5, 10, 15, maybe. Or maybe it'll be on UBI, right? So, like, this is just a scary slope, like a slippery slope that we're coming down. And where it ends, I don't know. You can't
Let me cut you off, but you have to think about this, you know, as much as I do. We both have kids. Is it true you think this will be a feature in the push for digital ID around the world? We have to give people an ID, right? You have to take a picture, a video, whatever.
Here's a QR code that verifies
something. Something, yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure if this is going to be the linchpin that makes this that people want to get it. It could be like one of the reasons you are on you're banging a war drum about this digital ID stuff.
It's crazy. Yeah. And the more you see these stories, like the Guardian, let me just remind people. Okay. The Guardian hasn't run a single story about the migrant that stabbed the guy walking his dog to death a couple of days ago. Never ran the story. Okay. They run this story instead. You have to ask why. One of these things is very friendly to a push toward the digital panopticon, the algorithm ghetto, as Hervoy Moritz says. One of them is very anti-establishment, anti-narrative, and so it doesn't get run. These things all serve a function, especially in the media, especially in places like The Guardian. This is a rag that pushes state propaganda. The reason they're saying this is because we want to have people under 18 banned from the internet in certain regards, or banned from using certain tools on the internet because it's dangerous for them. It very well may be, but the answer cannot be we have to validate everyone's ID. The UK, I will remind you, in the middle of a push for a digital ID right now, right? And this is like these things are all linked together. They dovetail across platforms, across silos, and always leads the same way. More control, mandates, requirements, privacy erosion, like you name it, right? But to pretend that this is, you know, I think, not that you're pretending it's unrelated, but I think this is a related story to all this stuff. I do. I really do.
Well, didn't they say in the UK that the digital ID is going to be a way to stop illegal migration?
Yeah, it's what you do. As soon as when the 50 IQ Afghan migrant swings a knife at you while you're walking your dog, you just flash him your digital ID and he stops. That's how it works, right? Yeah. These people can all go to hell, honestly. Like, I don't know what else to say. It's just crazy to me that we are allowing this as a society. Maybe we're not going to allow it, but it sure seems like we are just slipping more and more quickly into like the Whitney Webb version of the world, which, you know, she's been right about a lot of stuff and people can say she's blackpilling or whatever, but man, you look at what's going on. I don't know what to tell you. You know, you're seeing these stories over and over again, pushing you in the same direction. You have to ask why.
XWiki. Let's talk about them. And there was a critical security flaw in there. And this is a popular open source platform that many companies use to manage and share documents. It's sort of like a corporate Wikipedia. And the vulnerability was found in the XWiki's Solr search feature and allowed a hacker to run a malicious code on a company server without needing a username or password. And the beautiful thing about this is they were running remote. Looks like they were doing some mining.
Yeah.
I love this. The coin miner called TC Rond was being run in these servers, and it was done in such a way that it was even cleaning itself up after other competing coin mining software to make sure that the server only has giving access to that, only just that. So I found this funny, but in terms of mining, let's be honest, using GPU, and they probably didn't have specialized GPUs over there, and they had probably very high-end CPUs, but really, like, mining these days with non-specialized equipment, or even with specialized equipment, it doesn't really get you very much in the end. I don't think these guys made a heck of a lot doing this, but I found it to be pretty ingenious that they were able to do this, do the remote code execution, install this coin miner on there, and try to reap the rewards. I found it funny that at the very least. I don't know about you.
Do you remember when there was like early Bitcoin mining and early sort of crypto mining, torrent programs were doing this?
Were they?
Yeah. So certain torrent programs were running Bitcoin mining operations. Azurius, I think, was one. There was a few others that were doing it as well. And people were going, man, like, I'm downloading a torrent and my computer just slows to a crawl. Why? And it was hard to identify because how many people knew what crypto mining was in 2013, 12, 14, right? No one knew what it was, but everybody was using these programs to do it. And Pirate Bay famously noted that if you were searching their website, they were corralling some of your CPU power to do crypto mining. And people had different feelings about that, but at least it was transparent. Anyway, this is a sort of long way to say that nothing is new that has not been forgotten. You know, this has already happened many, many years ago. And I think as opportunities arise for people to grab some of your compute, they're going to do it. Compute's a commodity now. We've seen this, you know, time and time again in the AI space and data center space. That stuff is in demand. And guess what? If you got some, somebody's gunning for it for sure.
Remember not too long ago that janitor, I don't know which school board, which country.
Yeah, mining in the attic or something. What was he doing?
Yeah, like after hours, he was using the computers to mine whatever. And eventually he was caught. And
our friend at 256 Heat was mining in his hotel room in Montreal.
Oh, very nice.
With one of his units. Yeah, just brought it with him. And how about that?
I love hearing stories like that. Take advantage of the free electricity. Free electricity.
Take advantage. Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of phrases in there that are doing a lot of heavy lifting, but we'll leave that.
And you paid
for
it, right? You rented this place. All right, let's talk about this Australian dude, Peter Williams. And he was formerly the general manager of a company called Trenchant or Trenchant. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. Either way, that was a cyber division of the U.S. defense contractor L3Harris Technologies. And this guy, Peter Williams, he pleaded guilty to stealing and selling sensitive national security software. They were developing, Trenchant was specialized in developing zero-day exploits, which was being used for the U.S. and its trusted allies. All right, that's doesn't mean it's any good if it's still being used. But either way, what this guy did between 2022 and 2025, he used his position to steal at least 8 components of these cyber exploits. And he took this to Russian cyber tools brokers and sold it for millions of dollars in crypto.
Cool.
And so this stuff was eventually resold, and it was including the Russian government and other various clients for using this stuff. So it wasn't just the U.S. government, it was the Russian government and a bunch of others. The officials in the U.S. were stating that Williams' actions betrayed the United States and his employer. And apparently this caused a loss of theft for the company of $35 million. That defense contractor must be pissed for losing that. And he pleaded guilty to 2 counts of theft and trade secrets. And he's going to be facing a significant prison sentence. This guy's going to be made an example of.
He's a significant prison. This guy's never going to see the light of day again.
Right. Right. And the funny thing is, it's okay if the U.S. can use this stuff or their trusted allies. But if their enemies or their, you know, pseudo enemies like the Russian government and others use it, oh, that's terrible. Like, right?
It's not a friends and enemies situation.
It's a little bit hypocritical if you ask me. Whatever. It is what it is.
You know, there's an L3 near us, right? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, there's an L3.
I don't want to know. Less I know, the better.
They do drone and other defense contracting work for a number of countries and have come under fire in the last little while. A kid I used to coach works for them, actually. He's an engineer. And it is on Clapson's Corners, Highway 5 and 6. I think that's Clapson's. Highway 5 and 6, not far from where we are. So you can go up there, and it's kind of hiding in the bush, but L3Harris right there. People don't know what it is. It is a defense contractor. That is what L3 does. So all that to say, I wish this guy luck. I don't think he's going to be getting a lot of love letters like Luigi Mangione, but he will be spending time in prison. That is for sure.
You know, the funny thing is this guy could also be a martyr for certain groups, considering, you know, like
100%, 100%. Right? Yeah.
But if, I'm not going to say it's, you know, hypothetically he could be made a martyr.
He'll be a guy that people talk about for sure in that space. You know, I wonder, like, what is the water cooler talk at a place like L3 like when something like this happens, or other defense contractors? Like at Anduril, Palmer Luckey's outfit, are they talking about this story? Man, I can't believe that guy gave up the trade secrets. Like, or do they not care? Does it even cross their mind? Is this a story that we care about? Yeah, you invited me over
for barbecue last week. No, I'm going to be potentially...
I told him I was busy. Now here he is.
So this new United Nations Convention Against Cybercrime. Now, apparently this was adopted in 2024, and it was open for signature in 2025. 72 nations have signed on. You know, if Canada signed on, I know the answer to this. I did a search, but do you happen to know?
I'm going to guess yes.
No, apparently no.
Wow, okay.
I'm surprised. Anyways, at least
we
that's
couldn't afford it, or what was the problem?
I mean, Google could have lied to me. Maybe they have, but apparently Google says no. And so this is the first global treaty aimed at fighting cyber-related offenses. And the goal is to boost international cooperation amongst law enforcement agencies and establish universal legal framework for addressing crimes like hacking, online fraud, money laundering, stuff like that. This is, I'm wondering how Bitcoin's going to fit in all this. You know, I'm sure Bitcoin's for criminals and blah, blah, blah. But the UN and some governments really want to close loopholes that cyber criminals are exploiting because the internet is borderless. And they want a framework for countries to exchange digital information and encourage these individual countries to develop their domestic capabilities for investigating these crimes. And the problem here is it could be exploited by some governments. And you could really put the foot to some people's necks because there is a very broad scope here of the treaty. And it doesn't just focus on cyber-dependent crimes, but also requires cooperation on collecting electronic evidence for a wide range of quote-unquote serious crimes.
Yeah.
So the individual countries are going to have to define what is the quote-unquote serious crime due to electronic evidence. And you know what? It's just opening up a huge can of worms here and how this can be used, how this could be exploited and shared amongst their signatories of this agreement. Could be nasty for somebody that wants to travel. They could be put on some list, and then as soon as you land in some country, they could be taken away, never to be seen again, like that Mr. Williams. Like, I don't know, a step in the wrong direction. Be careful what you online.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, this is the best here. Do you know where this guy was speaking, Gutierrez, when he's talking about this? Speaking at the World Meteorological Organization's conference in Geneva, Gutierrez linked the spread of false information to public confusion about climate change and urged governments to resist false narratives and defend scientific research from distortion. Is he going to target Bill Gates, given that Bill Gates just said that the doomerism around climate is misplaced and not as bad as everyone says?
Well,
is he a target now? Is he the guy to look at?
No, he's just he's prioritizing things above it. It's not saying that it's no longer a threat. It's just still a threat.
No. He did say that. I looked at the quote a couple times. Yeah, that the doomerism around climate is just misplaced. It's not going to end humanity, anything like that. Totally backtracked on, you know, at this point, what is more than a decade probably of propaganda from his camp. So, you know, does Gutierrez, has he seen that quote? Has he seen the comment from Bill Gates? I don't know. But it seems to me that that might be qualified as dis or misinformation, according to him and to this. So I don't know. The UN, we often talk about like the sort of fourth turning and adjacent principles and systems. You know, we never talk about the death of something like the United Nations, like the whole NGO / global order machine that really has been just destroying productivity and national independence around the world at every opportunity for the last 75 years. And you know, these guys are really trying to hang on to power as much as anyone. And so they want people to think that we need global cooperation on misinformation, disinformation, the internet, all this stuff. But like, Antonio Gutierrez is going to be the last UN Secretary General, I think. You know, him or the guy after him. It's not going to be long now. No one gives a rat's you know what about any of this stuff anymore. There's bigger fish to fry. Currencies and economies are having real problems. No one's interested in cooperating. They're all interested in looking inward. And only the sort of WEF faithful, UN faithful, EU faithful are still, you know, holding this mask out in front of them, pretending they care. But we're seeing more and more in elections and economic policy and trade policy and even domestic policy. Everyone's sick of it. Everything from immigration to internet censorship. They're all sick of it. And this stuff is not going to last. It cannot last. There will be a fun kind of funeral for all this nonsense in the next 10 years, I hope, because these people just have to go. They're just completely... they're leeches and parasites that just add nothing at all. They just suck and suck and suck until there's nothing to suck anymore.
Maybe they should go play some poker with Chauncey Billups.
It's easy way to get the Chauncey Billups poker story is going to be incredible when all the details around that leak. I can't wait for that. That's going to be great.
If he's on several lists, you can.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you what. That's a guy who's not going to be on an NBA bench anymore. Are they going to revoke his Hall of Fame status? You think?
Is he in the Hall? I didn't even know.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Two or three time champion with the Pistons, right? They were really good in the mid-aughts there, 03, 04, 05, something like that.
Have they ever revoke somebody's privileges.
I don't know. I don't know. But Adam Silver doesn't want the spotlight on him. And I think he's going to find that it comes his way. So how's he going to fix that? I think
this is outside the game of basketball.
It's right? Both. He was saying, he was telling people when guys weren't going to play on the Portland Trailblazers, he's the coach. And also he was setting people up at fixed poker games, NBA players, including guys like Kevin Garnett, who played in at least one of those games. And the games were fixed. He was winning money for the mob. And the only reason, you know, Len, why do you help the mob? It's not because you feel like being generous. It's because they'll kill you over some debt if you don't help them win it back. And bringing in marks, I guess, was the way that he was doing it. So there you go.
If they've done nothing to the game of basketball, they deserves to get nothing, no punishment. With
by the way, Mafia has been in basketball for a long time. They were
at the center
of the Tim Donaghy referee scandal. They've been at the center of a few game fixing scandals over the years, and it continues today. So
they're everywhere.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, that's it, everyone. God bless. See you soon. Talk to you later. And until next time, take care of yourselves.
Take care.